You'll have to excuse me. I've got the stuff. I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I'd like to do today, hopefully, is to explain why we do what we just did. Why we go through the ordinances that we did. I think, I didn't have this in my notes, but I think the best place to start right at this moment is in John 3. Considering the song that we just sang and the things that transpired. John 3, and I'll start with the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell which it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Christ himself told them that you have to be born again. You have to spiritually be born. You have to go down into the waters and be buried with Christ and come up out of the waters. I'd like to go to John 14:6. He's speaking to Thomas, and Thomas had asked him what the way was, and Jesus, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way that we have hope of eternity with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ himself said it. You can't do it by working your way to heaven. Although the good works need to be there, that's what we'll be judged by at the judgment bar. But Christ himself said we need to be born again, and that he is the only way. Let's go to page 673 in the Book of Mormon. It'll be 3 Nephi, the 13th chapter. There was a contention on what the name of the church should be back in the day that Jesus was on this continent speaking with the people here. And so since he was here, they asked him. And in verse 20, he says, For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. If so be that they are built upon my gospel. Verily, I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore, ye shall call whatsoever things ye do, call in my name. Therefore, if ye call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father shew forth his works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from which there is no return. For their works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore, remember the things that I have told you. And then in verse 25, he says, behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And if we had read on in verse 3 of John, or in verse 16 of John 3, we would read that God gave his only begotten Son, and he gave him to us out of the love for us, that through him we would be saved. Verse 26, and my Father sent me that I might be lifted upon the cross, and after that I have been lifted upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me, that as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. There's going to come a day after we're dead and we're resurrected that we stand before the judgment bar of God. And we'll know at that time whether we're going to enter in with that hope that we should have through Jesus Christ to dwell with God forever. Christ was sent for us, and we need to follow after the things that he has given us in his word to do. And part of that word was given to the ministers, that we should teach people about Jesus Christ, that we should teach baptism and repentance and faith on Jesus Christ. Repentance, a changed mind, that we would want to do away with the sin in our life and try our very best not to do it anymore. And to go down into the waters as obedience into his word, to show God that we're willing to take upon us his Son, Jesus Christ, and be called after that name, to be called Christians. Verse 29, and it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not to the end, the same is he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return. Because of the justice of the Father, and this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his works, and no unclean can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing enter into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in the blood because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Cody has been cleansed of all his sins. Whatever he had before then is wiped clean. And he has received the Holy Ghost, whether he knows it or not. And it will guide him. But I'm going to tell you that we'll fall. We've all fallen afterwards. But that's where we have that avenue of repentance, that we can come to the Father in prayer and ask for forgiveness of the things that we do afterwards, that we can be cleansed again. Because if we truly ask for repentance and we truly change our minds to follow after Jesus Christ, forgiveness is given. Excuse me. Verse 33. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, and that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. That's why we baptize with water as immersion. Because we feel that that's the way it should be done. But there are some steps that need to be taken. When we meet with people, we try to teach them repentance and baptism and teach them what the scriptures say. Because they need to know what they're getting into. We just don't take somebody and baptize them. There's a difference between truly being baptized and, shall I say, being dunked in the water. Because if you're not doing it for the right reasons, you're getting wet. Let's flip over to page 628, 3rd Nephi, 4th chapter. This is Christ speaking again. It says, shortly after that he was crucified and that there was terrible tumult on this continent, and there was 3 days of darkness, and the darkness was so bad that you couldn't even see a light if you had it. Excuse me. And he came and he talked to the people. And he tells them that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he created the heavens and earth and all things that in them are. And in verse 48, he goes on to say, I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. In the Old Testament, even if you haven't read it, they had ordinances to where they sacrificed animals and did certain ordinances in a certain way. And Jesus says, I don't want any more of that. And he goes on to say, and you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The proper way to go into baptism is with that broken heart. One that says, I'm sorry, Lord. A humbleness and a feeling of being crushed and giving him all the broken pieces of your heart that he can put them back together again. That you truly have changed your mind to a thinking that I don't want to sin anymore. I want to follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, and I want to have him in my life. I want that Holy Ghost to guide and direct me and to guide me in my life that I can live a better life. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. I'd like to go to page, 633, the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi. This is Jesus speaking again to the people whom he had chosen to be disciples. And on page 633, it's the third book of Nephi, the fifth chapter, and the 23rd verse. Jesus says, "And he saith unto them, On this wise shall ye baptize, and there shall be no disputations among you." Jesus is saying, this is the way you're going to do it. Don't argue about it. This is the way it is. That's my words. And that's why we do the way that we do baptisms in this church. And I know Sean read this to you. Or at least he looked it over before he baptized him. I saw him over there. That's why we do it, because it says, "On this wise ye shall baptize, and there will be no disputations among you. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever repenteth of his sins through your words, and desireth to be baptized in my name," that's in Jesus' name, "on this wise shall ye baptize them." He says, "Behold, ye shall go down and stand in the water, and in my name shall ye baptize them. And now behold, these are the words which ye shall say, calling them by name, saying, having authority given me of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then shall ye immerse them in water, and shall come forth again out of the water. And after this manner shall ye baptize in my name, for behold, verily I say unto you that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one, and I am in the Father and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And according as I have commanded you, thus shall ye baptize." That's why we did things the way that were done today, that you have witnessed. We try to follow after the scriptures, the way they have guided us, because we call ourselves the Church of Christ. Let's go to Matthew in the third chapter. Matthew 3, and I'll start at verse 11. John the Baptist is baptizing in the river. And in verse 11, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize with you water, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He's speaking of Jesus Christ, "whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If Jesus, the Son of God, was holy and spotless and blameless, had need to follow after the commandments of his Father and go down into the waters of baptism, as it says in the Book of Mormon, what more need have we to do the same thing? To follow after our Lord and Savior down into the waters of baptism, to be cleansed, and to witness before God that we're willing to take upon him the name of Jesus Christ, and to follow after his commandments and endure in that faith to the end of our lives. To try our very best with every fiber that we have in us to follow after his son and to follow the commandments that we have in the scriptures, that we can be that son of God. I'd like to go to the 8th chapter of Acts. I'm going to start with verse 26. This is where Philip baptizes the eunuch, and I think it's a good example that we have in the scriptures. And the angel of the Lord, verse 26 in the 8th chapter of Acts. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was a man that was very well trusted by the queen. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come and set up, that he should come up and set with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what we try to do as ministers of Jesus Christ. If somebody comes to us and asks, we try to find out where they're at in their knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then to start from there and expound and explain unto them who Jesus Christ is and why he came and why it would be good to follow after him and to be baptized in his name. And as they went on their way, they came up into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What's keeping me from being baptized? Is there a reason I can't be? Satan puts it into almost everybody I've talked to about baptism mind that I don't know enough. Well, what do you got to know except who Jesus Christ really is and the things that I've already talked to you about? Can you explain Revelation to me? The book of Revelation? I can't explain it to myself. But it's a tool of Satan that he puts into their heads. Well, I don't know enough yet. So we try to explain to them what baptism is, that it's a witness, a willingness to follow after Jesus. And Philip said unto him, If thou believest, yes. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You need to know who Jesus Christ is. I'm going to go to verse 14 in the same chapter. These are scriptures that we follow as far as we believe that that's why, this is why we lay on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. I can't truthfully say it's the only way, because we know that others had received the Holy Ghost because of their belief, but they didn't have hands laid on them, the Lamanites. But this is the way that we have been told to do it. So therefore, this is why we do what we do. Verse 14 in chapter 8 of Acts. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And then I'm going to read the 6 verses in Acts 19 that I read earlier. Acts 19, 1 through 6. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and findeth certain disciples. He said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't know about any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, What then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism, which we know that was a baptism of repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. John said that I've got somebody else coming after me that is greater than he was, and it's in his name that you should be baptized. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized again into the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They were cleansed, and they had received the Holy Ghost because of laying on of hands. And I go to John 14. We believe that the Holy Ghost has the same authority as God and Jesus Christ, because they are all in one. It says that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I am the Father, and the Holy Ghost are one. It's just to reiterate what the Holy Ghost does for us. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus speaking, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. And then we jump down to verse 26. And Jesus here says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Ghost guides us in righteousness. And it's a precious gift to have it. It teaches us and guides us and comforts us. Teaches us truth and the way in which we should go. I hope I've been able to bring across the things that are in the scriptures that we believe, and try to guide the ordinances that we do in this church. It's not that we just do them to do them. It's because we've been commanded him to do them. That's why we immerse in water, and that's why we try to make sure that people truly understand who Jesus Christ is and what they're doing before we will baptize them. We need to make as sure as we can that they know what they're doing when they go down into the waters, that they don't do it out of deceit and just to do it, but that they truly have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that they can truly be cleansed and receive that promise of the Holy Ghost. And I'd like to close by reading the 51st Psalm. The 51st Psalm, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, upon thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Thank you.